Please be advised that Deviant Discussions contains explicit content and language that might not be appropriate for those under the age of 18.
Kinksters with different perspectives come together to explore and debate their unique opinions of the delicious world of kink, fetishes, and BDSM. With Diavol Diablo,
you're already clinically dead,
is mostly evil.
So they're dating.
That's fucking...
And subtle shadow.
See if, like, my panties get wet when you start talking.
This is Deviant Discussions.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
What's up?
The up is up.
Oh, and down. Sometimes. Jinx.
Yummy coke.
I've got to say, being on the down sounds like it's going to be a serious topic today.
Not so much. Well, yeah, probably. So I wanted to talk about safe words today. Specifically, when I first discovered that consensual non-consent was something existed as a kink, it was my understanding that you did not have a safe word when you were either in a CNC scene or a CNC relationship. Safe words do not exist in that context, was my understanding. And I've since learned that that might not be the case. What do you guys think?
I think you have to have a safe word in any context, in any scene, in any dynamic. The safe word has to be there as a last resort. It doesn't have to be something that's used often or ever, but it has to be there because tops aren't psychic. We don't know what's going on inside of your body, inside of your mind. And even in these dynamics where you theoretically have full authority to do whatever the fuck you want to somebody else, you also don't want to cause real harm. And if you get to the point where you're causing real harm and you don't know because they're reacting exactly the same way they do any other time, then the safe word is necessary.
Well, Ismi, you're in a CNC relationship with other one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like as the years have gone by and as you guys have gotten to know one another, that there would ever come a time when you might not even need a safe word because you would just know her that well?
No.
Okay.
And simply because, you know, like I said, I'm not in her head. I don't know what's going on 100%. Yes, I can look at the cues. I can look at the look in her eyes and realize, okay, this has gone beyond the fantasy aspect that we both enjoy into she's genuinely scared, but she also wants to be genuinely scared. And so, you know, it's the degree to which the perfect example, we had a scene once where she wanted me to prove to her that I could actually do the things she quote unquote allows me to do. Okay. That I could, if I wanted to, with her fully struggling against me, fighting back, take her. And we actually had two of these. The first one was just until one of us tapped out and she tapped out. The second one was supposed to be until one of us was unconscious.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the second one started, and you know, I told her, said, well, come at me, and she did. And so it ends up with her on the floor, my hands around her neck, choking her out. And she had never been completely choked out before. And the agreement was, I don't stop until she's unconscious. That's how it was supposed to go. But we get to the point where she's starting to lose consciousness and she starts frantic. And she can't say a safe word because, you know, my hands around her throat. She can't breathe. And I've, you know, restricted blood flow. She starts tapping on my arm frantically. And I just looked at her and said, are you tapping out? And she nodded her head and we stopped the scene. So that was her calling a safe word, even though the agreement was, I don't stop. Now, had I not stopped, would there have been a problem? we've had that discussion. She said, probably not. Mm-hmm. But she was safe wording in that moment. And mm-hmm. you know, so yeah, I mean, the safe word is there to be exactly that, a safe word. It doesn't necessarily, mm-hmm. it's not a limit on my authority or my power. It's making sure that she isn't being harmed either mentally, physically, or emotionally past the point she can handle.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have heard, it's interesting that you say it isn't a indicator or like any kind of effect on your power. But I have heard, or at least not heard, but like read on various forums, these dominant types who would argue, well, like my biggest kink is that you trust me enough to never need a safe word. And I want to say to them, it's not about you.
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with trust. And in a
way, it kind of is about them too, right? Because a safe word, if they accidentally kill somebody, they're not going to be very happy about that.
Well, I mean, they may be. But it's an ego thing. It's what it is. It is purely an ego. I am such a domly fucking dom that I know everything and completely understand what's going on with my bottoms, mental and physical. And I am so good at what I do that I couldn't possibly hurt somebody even if I really, really wanted to. Bullshit is what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've known other one for 6 years. We have done a lot of things over those years. I know her about as well as anybody's going to know somebody else. I still require that there's a safe word in play. She has used it exactly once, and that was in that story I just told.
Oh, interesting.
Once.
And it wasn't, I think what's important too is that it wasn't the word that you had agreed on. You could just tell that she...
Well, she couldn't say the word.
She wants to stop. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, she indicated the safe word. And I verified it. But you know, and that's the only time that we have stopped a scene based on her safe wording or her indicating it needed to be over.
Right.
And that's partially because, you know, as far as the physical side goes, I'm not an exceptionally, I can play heavy, but I'm not exceptionally heavy 90% of the time. Where we come into issues where we would even get close to her need to safe word, they're few and far between. And whether she is happy about that or not is a completely different story. I'm sure she would like it if we played a lot heavier than we do because she is a very heavy masochist.
Yeah. Well, but, from my perspective,
go ahead.
I was just going to say from my perspective, having a safe word is not only just a logistical thing, like it's in a safety thing, but it's also almost a bit of a kink because I didn't even realize this would happen. But when I was bottoming, I knew that word existed and I was choosing to ignore it, I guess, like, or at least I was choosing to push myself. And somehow the safe word gave me the freedom to kind of expand beyond what I thought I might be able to endure on an impact level. Because I guess like I always knew that I could stop it. Yeah, so it's hard to describe. I can't really explain it correctly, but
no, it gives you you the freedom to explore with the safety net.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think the existence of the safety net would, let's say, I was afraid of heights, which I kind of am, and I went on a tightrope. The existence of the safety net would not really have that much of an impact on how scared I was at that height. So anyway,
it's in the same realm of not needing a safe word is in the same realm to me as having no limits. Mm-hmm. You know, practically speaking, other one and I have no limits because there's absolutely nothing I want to do that is a limit of hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Practically speaking, we have a no limit, no safe word dynamic because I'm rarely going to get to the point where she's going to need to use the safe word, and nothing I want to do is beyond her limits. That doesn't mean that she doesn't have limits and there's not a safe word. That just means we don't actually use them.
Okay. Dee Dee, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi.
You've been quiet. What are you thinking?
It's not something that I have a lot of experience with, so I've never come close to using one. I've never had someone else use one. The only time I've ever used it is in a joking sense. So it's a difficult one.
What do you
one.
Mean, joking sense?
Like, so our safe word was pineapple. And yeah. So every so often he would be like, I don't know, he'd talk about, I don't know, going to the toilet, for example. He'd be like, oh my God, I had a massive shit today and it wouldn't flush away. And I'd be like, pineapple.
Like, and so it's equivalent to like TMI.
Yeah, basically that's the only time that I've ever really used it. I've never tapped out, and I don't say that as like Billy Big Balls or anything. I've just never,
yeah,
the only person that's ever taken me to a place that felt extreme, I suppose, would be in different situations. You know, I've done more with him than I've done with other people, but it was still not something, I don't know, he's just always read me and read my body language, and if I've been like, no, don't, he won't necessarily stop, but he'll change the way that he's applying things. And I don't know, I suppose it's difficult to, I've never had the conversation of this is what happens if I safe word. And we've never had to sit down and have the discussion of, okay, you safe worded, what was the problem? It's, well, I don't know.
So yeah. What about from your perspective as a sadist, when you, I mean, I'm assuming you have talked before.
Yes.
What does it mean to you? Do you require a safe word in those contexts?
I think in the way that Izmi is saying it, like, I would never top with someone that I was in a relationship with again. I did that and it doesn't work for me. I like being disconnected from the person. And so
interesting. I think that's probably how I would be too.
Yeah. I don't want any feelings whatsoever. I don't want any sexual enjoyment, or anything like that. Like, I want to hurt the person and I want them to feel pride that they've endured that and overcome it. And that's it. I don't care if they go home and masturbate furiously. I don't want to know. I just want to beat the shit out of them and that be the end of my involvement. So yeah, a safe word would be required because I don't want to do gentle topping. I want to do heavy topping, and there are a lot of risks associated with that, especially in terms of bloodletting and things like that. You know, there's strong opportunities for permanent damage and deep damage and genuine harm. So a safe word to me would be necessary, but I would never want to reach that point. Yeah, I want to reach the yellow point where it's like, okay, I'm dancing on the line and I want to hold them on that line as long as possible, but I never want to tip them over it. So I want to make someone walk a cliff edge and feel it crumbling beneath the feet, but I never want them to fall off.
See, I think it depends at that point. How are you defining red? Is red you've gone too far, or is red you're at that point?
This is true.
Interesting.
Because to me, if you're calling red and we've gone too far, you've called red late.
Interesting.
Because the goal is not to go too far. The goal is to stop before we go too far. So if we are on that edge, that's what you call red. If you've called red 5 minutes after we've gone too far, there's a problem.
I do wonder, though, like how much. So I think I'm still learning where that line is within myself. And I don't think. I guess I don't want any of our listeners to feel bad if, I don't know, for me personally, like I would personally feel bad if I called red too late because of my inexperience. I don't think I would ever let it get to that point. Like I feel ideally in an ideal world, I would say red in the time before that it got to that point, but I came pretty close to pushing myself over the edge in my last scene. And I think that I may have pushed myself too hard too soon, if right. that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, and that's possible. And being new, you're not going to know. And mm-hmm. it's going to be a split second. Oh my God, we're there. And so yeah. you may go past the edge just from a lack of experience and a lack of, you know, not knowing exactly where that line is for you, and a lot of stories that I've heard and even from my own submissive slash bottoms is they didn't want to call red because they were afraid of disappointing me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. I had a great sense of disappointment.
Yeah. And I always say, I'm going to be more disappointed. I'm going to be more upset. I'm going to be more hurt personally if I've gone too far because I didn't know.
Yeah.
If I've hurt you, that's much more damaging to me than ending a scene what you're considering to be early. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's as much as it's about me and what I want to do, it is about you and what you want to experience. And mm-hmm. if what you're experiencing is a net negative, then there's an issue.
Yeah. And I do think, so I'm by nature a bit of a competitive person. And I think it is really very easy to slide into a sense of competition when you are on social media sites that are kink sites and you see all of these women, or at least from a female perspective, all of these women that have these beautiful bruises and like have these romantic writings about how far they went and how they suffered for their top or their dom. And you begin to feel almost obligated to be a masochist if you are a sub. And I don't think those two go together. Like they may be common partners, but I don't think
I'm not a masochist at all. Like, yeah, I don't enjoy pain whatsoever. Emotional masochism, yes, but 9 times out of 10, I'm applying that to myself. But yeah. I do know what you mean, that there is this strong link between a sub and a masochist, and that can you really be one without being the other? And it seems to, what people don't take into account as well is someone might bruise easily and mark beautifully and be able to take pictures and change the levels and the mm-hmm. HDR on that image and make it pop. And mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily look anything like that in real life. Like I do not mark easily at all.
Right.
I've taken pictures of welts and there's been no redness whatsoever and it's not bruised at all. And there's only one picture that I've ever taken where you can see a hint of 4 red lines. And mm-hmm. I had to touch up that picture to make the red stand out. Yeah. And so when I see these pictures of someone with like a black ass, I'm like, dang, I'm never going to reach that point without painting it on.
And so I guess, I interrupted you. Please continue. I was just going to say that for me, so the reason I brought that up was that I felt like I had somehow disappointed the sadist that was doing this impact scene with me. And, you know, he was just like what Ismi said, like, I'm glad that you said that you needed to stop. Like, you know, like if you'd said it wasn't too late, you know, I really expected more of myself. And that's such a weird feeling. I can genuinely say that's how I felt, like you should have done better. And it's so weird because I'm like, where did that even come from? Why do I feel the need to compare myself to the heavy bottom that I just watched get the shit kicked out of her? You know, why do I feel like, okay, somehow a safe word for some might feel like failing, I guess. And I
think it's all in the dynamic, and I think it's and no one will ever get rid of that feeling for you. I mean, I've had.
Wait. I thought that a dom could fix everything.
Yeah.
You can't fix my mental problems. What? No,
nobody can fix your mental problems.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, I kind of liked it. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. And
see, masochist.
But I know. I've had bottoms where, you know, they did go past and told me afterwards, you know, they went past where they felt comfortable and never safe worded. And I'm for that very reason, I didn't want to disappoint you. You weren't finished yet, whatever. And I'm like, but, you know, now that I know that I actually did, some amount of harm, I don't, mm-hmm. that will taint this memory for me. This went from a good memory to a bad memory. Aww. And so,
yeah,
you know, please tell me. I would mm-hmm. rather know. And then, you know, the next scene they do the exact same thing because they had the exact same feeling. And that could be partially a cop out on their part as far as they wanted to go further and see personally what they could take. And then, you know, mm-hmm. once it got past that point where they didn't call red, they decided to internally switch the blame from their personal desire to see how far they could go to, I didn't want to disappoint you, because people mm-hmm. are shit and that stuff happens. And I think it's often a combination of both. But It's on the top side, it's the same thing, you know, how there's the competition of, you know, my submissive or my bottom can take this much, and I play this hard and I do this edgy thing that nobody else in the world has ever done before bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's out there, and that's just human nature. And mm-hmm. you either care about it or you don't. I stopped caring about it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I will say when I first got into it, I wanted to be that heavy, edgy, you know, I was looking for my thing in the community that was just my thing, because, you know, we had the electrical guy and we had the fire guy and we had the suspension guy. And you know, what am I gonna be? Am I gonna be the, you know, I ended up being the paddle guy. You know, okay, groovy. Because I liked paddles and I didn't necessarily care that it wasn't the kinkiest fucking toy in the world and it wasn't something that everybody didn't already have in their fucking, you know, everybody has paddles. Everybody, you know, that is kink 101. You get a paddle. And, you know, but whatever, that's what I enjoyed and that's what I enjoy. And that's what I'm going to do. Cause at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter what anybody else thinks, as long as you're having fun. And it doesn't, you know, if you and your partner are having a good time, how far and how hard you play is between you guys. It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with, you know, the person who bruises easily. Or I have known bottoms and masochists who they can take and want an extreme amount of pain. I knew one couple, they were very, very heavy players. And you know, during a scene, he would reach up under her ribs and touch her lungs. He would claw. He claw and push his fingers under her rib cage.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That just sounds gross.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's intense.
Yes. Very, very intense. And very edgy and very dangerous, but they both knew what they were into. They both knew what mm-hmm. they were doing. And the amount of pain that this person enjoyed was that extreme. Mm-hmm. Very few people are going to be into that extreme. So trying to compare yourself to this particular person, you're always going to come up short.
Yeah. And I've never been a one to do that, to compare, except when I came into the kink scene. It's a weird feeling. Yeah.
I think it's because there's a competition for, and this is the not right word, but exactly the right word, quality people. You know, finding the people who match up to what you want, to mm-hmm. who take this to the seriousness and to the living it as a lifestyle, are few and far between. There are 10 million people on FetLife. Out of that 10 million people, maybe 10,000 are actually living this, and it's not just a fun pastime. And if it's just a fun pastime and that's what you're into, groovy, you know. That's it. I'm not putting those people down. I'm just saying, to find the person who, like, if I were to go on to any of these social media, kinky social media dating sites, whatever, and try to find somebody who wants the type of dynamic I want, it would take forever, because what most people want these days isn't what I want, and that's fine for them, and they're getting their rocks off and having a good kinky time, but I don't even bother anymore. I have completely given up on any type of kinky dating site finding the type of relationship that I want. It just doesn't seem to, for me, exist.
Yeah, and I know what you mean by that, because we've had that discussion about the kind of top and bottom dynamic that I would want to fulfill my topping desires. Mm-hmm. You and I have had that conversation about the kind of person that I would need to be on the receiving end of that. They seem very, very few and far between as well. And to try and then build in additional dynamics to that, and the kind of DS dynamic that I would want as well, doesn't seem to exist in real life. So I fully appreciate where you're coming from on that side.
They exist. It's just a matter of, like I said, there are a lot of people competing for that type of dynamic. And so it makes it more difficult to find. And I think that a lot of people who were heavier into this lifestyle are kind of moving away from those social media. Like, personally, I am so rarely on FetLife, for example. You know, I used to spend way too much time on FetLife every day. Mm-hmm. And over the years, it has become less and less and less, to where now I log in to give updates about stuff, and that's about it. I mean, I've not written anything there since October.
I know, I miss your writings, and says the one who's always on FetLife.
Yeah. And you know, I've not participated in any groups, I've not participated in any discussions on other writings. I don't even read other writings right now. And that's what I used to do. I used to get on and read writings and try to connect with people who were of like mind, not necessarily to date, just to get to know and have a small community. And they're not out there. And even within our little community that we're building, what I'm looking for personally, I really don't even see there. And we have a wonderful community of really great people, really nice, very supportive, very understanding. But what I want out of a dynamic, I don't see even there, out of the community that we've built around what I want. How did that happen?
you're a really great question.
And that's fine. That's just how the kink world is today. But you know, it does make it more difficult for me to, and I'm lucky enough to have a partner, and so I don't need another partner. It'd be nice, but I don't need another partner. I don't need another submissive. I get what I need kinkily out of my current dynamic. But you know, I am poly, and I do enjoy having multiple relationships and multiple dynamics.
You're going to get so many emails after this one.
I am so not. we're up to three listeners anyway. Now. We're up to three listeners now. So I don't know. Yeah, we gained two.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the YouTube's up to 120, but I think 15 of those are me. needed to hit that milestone. So I don't see, and again, like I said, I'm not necessarily looking at, but it's just something I've noticed over the past 5 or 6 years. The tone has shifted from being very dynamic heavy to being more casual. And casual is, again, fine if that's what you're into, groovy. But for me, it's not. I don't do casual. I don't even do casual sex, casual hookups, casual play. I'm not a casual kind of guy. I don't like people enough to do casual.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
I wonder if that's my problem, too. I don't like people.
Yeah, no, I don't want to put up with.
It's very rare to find somebody that I like. You guys are lucky, or probably not, actually.
Well,
we can call it lucky.
Oh, hush. You've been mean enough on this episode.
I don't think I have. I've only been mean twice.
I think he's been really nice to you on this episode.
Oh, Whatevs.
It's the episodes where he's quiet. You have to worry.
I know.
Which is never. So
that's not true.
Exactly.
That's not true. We're just not using them. But that's not true.
Nobody else gets to listen to them.
Nobody else gets to listen to me being quiet for 20 minutes, then coming in and yelling. God damn it.
Yeah, this is what we're subjected to behind the scenes.
Oh my gosh.
I am such a cruel taskmaster with my, I don't give a shit, just do what you want.
Yeah. The best one is you're one of those like parents that's like, I'm not mad, I'm just really disappointed.
Yeah, that's exactly how many times have I heard me say, I'm not mad. Yeah. It just sounds
You're not a daddy to us, you're actually just dad. That's really bad.
Well, I say that because when people assume, because of my personality, most of the time when I'm interacting with people, I'm joking and being sarcastic. And what? So when I'm serious and I'm having that serious conversation, people assume I'm mad. And so that's why I start those conversations with, hey, I'm not mad. I'm just, because I have two modes. I'm trying to be charming and I'm trying to be funny, or I'm stating facts. And you know, and people take my I'm stating facts as I'm mad, and it's not. You know, if I say I don't like this, this is what we need to change, it's not a criticism, it's a I don't like this, this is what we need to change. But people take that as I'm mad about not liking this. I'm not. I don't have an emotional reaction to it. It's this isn't good, I don't want to use it, and that's all it is. But I've found over the years that I have to state I'm not mad. I'm not criticizing. Boom.
For you to be mad here, and criticize. Right.
And so for other people to take what I'm saying as a statement, not a criticism, or a statement, not a condemnation. Mm. And ooh, and because
that's a good word.
Yeah.
Say that again.
No. Because I mean, and you've seen it. If I say something negative, people start apologizing and it's not that I'm saying something negative. I'm just stating a thought. Here's the thing is I hot Australian chick and I have known each other for about 2 years now. Yeah. About 2 years now. And I would say 75% of our conversation is just friendly chit chat. Me finding out about her day and her life, me bitching about my life, and maybe under that other 25% is anything flirty or sexual or having to do with her nakedness. It is not something where I actually expect nudes or anything like that from her. It's a I get them because she wants to know what I would do to that particular bit of her body in that particular moment. Yeah. And that's really about it as far as people who there was a point in my life where I really enjoyed getting naked pictures, and I had several people who would send them on a regular basis. And for whatever reason, I'm really past that point in my life. And I'm good with what I get. No, it has nothing to do with it's a lack of horny is what it is. It is a complete and utter lack of horny. I don't know if it's because I am just so overly saturated with kink and kink has a lot of nakedness to it. and a lot of the flirting and the sexuality, where I am just fucking sick of it. I don't want, don't tell me you find me attractive. Don't tell me you want to do naughty things to me. Don't ask me to tell you I want to do naughty things to you, because that will be the quickest way to get me to stop talking to you.
That's so hot.
There are
you think everything is hot. You need to calm down and go to horny jail.
At this point.
I do need to go to horny jail.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, point, that's like the biggest gif I would use in the Discord server that we have, is just the bonk go to horny jail.
You know, horny jail is probably a whole lot of fun.
I don't know.
Unless I'm the only one in horny jail.
Solitude.
Horny solitary. That's basically the past year. Yeah. Thanks, COVID.
Yeah. I think outside of other one, there are two people that I flirt with right now and has been for maybe the past yearish. And that's really about it. I haven't even gone on a date in like 2 years.
Yeah.
So, and that one, that didn't go well.
What happened?
I mean, it wasn't a bad date. It was just one of those where it went nowhere. She was a very, very nice, very lovely girl. But we really just didn't have anything in common. And so, we kind of stopped. So we went on the date. We talked for a couple of weeks, went on a date, and then talked for like 2 days after that, and then never talked to each other again. And so, you know, it was just that's how it was. And I find it's a very weird period of my life lately, because I not that I always dated often, but like, I would love to go on a date. I haven't been on a date with somebody new in like I said, about 2 years, if not longer, maybe closer to three. It was whenever we went. It's actually maybe about 3 years now at this point since I've been on a date with somebody new. And you know, not to have somebody new to boink, just to have, you know, a different conversation.
Boink. Oh my God, I love that.
Well, it's me. You can always go on a date with me. I'm up here anytime.
You live where it's cold. Fuck that noise.
Yeah. Well, no, you're just too picky.
You can go on a
date with me.
You live where it's cold and across an ocean.
Yeah, but so, I'm generous and I will come to you.
Okay, well, when you come over here, we'll go on a date.
I want a real date though. Like, I want a proper fancy date.
A proper fancy date.
Yeah, like, I want you to take me for dinner and everything.
You want to be
one for dinner.
Nom 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 nom. I thought that's what you wanted with other one.
To be dinner.
I got it.
Can I just like be kind of the chaperone / person that watches
the creepy person in the corner?
I mean, pants. I think if you find out where we're going, then you'll probably turn up anyway uninvited. So yeah, why not? Blanket invitation.